appreciate that. Good stuff. We are blessed, honestly, to have good music. Thank you. As I understand it, I think Sophie, did Sophie put that together? Did Sophie, well, she was the one that said, let's do this. And Sophie recruited all those ladies and said, we're going to play a special in church. And, yes, ma'am, all right, but they did it. And that's a blessing. That was well done, and enjoyed that tonight. Thank you, ladies. I am thrilled, just thrilled at all these folks, instrumentalists, that play music. You know, you look at that, folks, and you think about what the Bible talks about, pipes. That's your woodwinds. Talks about stringed instruments. Talks about your tabrets and your cymbals. That's your percussion. God's a musical being, and I love it. I'm so thankful. I was so blessed last Sunday night with the youth emphasis. And one of the many things that blessed my heart was that whole place was full of just teenagers, just full. And I appreciate those of you who work with them to make that happen. And I appreciate you parents putting up with the practice at home so that we can enjoy it here. Amen. That is a blessing. All right. Come on, fellas, sing for us tonight. We go from Beauty to the Beasts.
There are countries in the world that only whisper the name of Jesus because of the laws in their land. They say he was a prophet, but now is dead and gone. But they don't understand the peace that's given from him.
So I will loudly proclaim, I am a Christian. I will gladly put my trust in him. I will fervently stand as a soldier, with the Bible as my sword and the captain as my God. I will proudly be a patriot of the Lamb.
They came upon our soil to defy our Lord and Savior and to rain down terror from the sky. They destroyed two of our treasures while God watched our crying. And seeing all the tears in our eyes, believing in the one who calms all our fears, and trusting in the Savior, for his coming is so near. So I will loudly proclaim, I am an American. I will gladly put my trust in God. I will fervently stand as a soldier, with the Bible as my sword and the captain as my God. I will proudly be a patriot of this land. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. With the Bible as my sword and the captain as my God, I will proudly be a patriot of this land. I will proudly be a patriot of the Lamb.
Thank you very much. Amen. Good. Appreciate that. All right, Psalm 34 in your Bible tonight. Psalm chapter 34, mentioned this morning I would be speaking from, Lord willing, this chapter. So we'll go there, Psalm 34, and we'll find our passage there tonight, Psalm chapter 34. If you find that, when you find that, if you are able, let's stand together in honor of God's word tonight. I'm going to read beginning in verse number 1, Psalm 34. And the scripture says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. If you look at the heading of this psalm, it is a psalm or song of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I want to preach a little bit tonight on David's musings about his mess. David's musings about his mess. Father, I pray that you'll help us now. Please guide our thoughts and take it, our Lord, to take your word, use it as the sword of the Spirit in our hearts tonight. I pray that you will encourage somebody tonight in the church family. Thank you for the privilege to have a Bible and all that we can learn from it. We give now this time to you. Pray that you'll use it for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. David is sitting somewhere thinking over his life, and he takes a pen, and the Holy Spirit gives him words that are preserved in order to help us to this day. And the truth of the matter is, David had made a mistake. He had made a big one. He had gotten himself into a royal mess. It was in a time of turmoil, time of doubt, time of confusion, time of uncertainty, probably lacked sufficient sleep, maybe wasn't thinking as clearly as he should have been, and he made a mistake. Have you ever been there? Does that sound like familiar territory to you, right? Times of uncertainty, times of doubt, times of confusion come to all of us at some point. And in fact, we may get it may get so bad that we are tempted to, or more than even tempted to, we even do make some poor and unwise decisions, choices that have the potential to cost us dearly and literally get us in a mess. And then God steps in. And with mercy and grace, he helps us out of the mess we are in or the mess we're about to get in. And that time in life becomes, or at least it should become, a teaching point for us as we move ahead and hopefully avoid those same mistakes and messes in the future. I believe this time in David's life became a teaching point for him. Now, let me say at the outset something very interesting about this. David does not mention one detail about the mistake that he made. This is not Bathsheba and Uriah now. That's sin, okay? This is a mistake in judgment, a mistake in trust, a lack of trust. He does not glory in the wrong and unwise decisions that he made at that time in his life. He's on the backside of that mistake. He's on the backside of the mess. And as he looks back, he's probably ashamed of himself. And he's not moved by the Holy Ghost to put one word on paper as to the details of what happened, at least in Psalm 34. There is a thought process here that is good for us to go through once in a while when we are maybe musing about mistakes or messes that we've made in the past. Maybe it'll help you if you get into a mess in the future. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about this, David's musings, his thought processes about his mess. Number one, I want you to see that David speaks of the present or on the back. He's on the backside of the mess, and he's speaking about the present. And you find that in verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord, and here's the three words I think that are mostly important, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. As David begins this song, he is delighting in the Lord. People, he's delighting in the Lord's person, not in what the Lord did for him. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing in God's provision in what the Lord does for us, but David is rejoicing in who the Lord is. I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will boast in the Lord. I will magnify the Lord. I will exalt the Lord. Why? Because he's the Lord. He's Jehovah God. He is the eternal, self-existent one who never changes. That's what the name Jehovah means. The eternal, self-existent one who never changes. The truth of the matter is, folks, that God does not need me, does not need you to make him what he is. He is what he is without any help or lack of help from you and from me. He is Jehovah in eternity past. The Lord was who he is now and who he will be in eternity future. In the present, the Lord is who he was in eternity past and who he will be in eternity future. And in eternity future, the Lord will be then who he was in eternity past and who he is right now. You know what Jehovah basically means? God never changes. He never changes. I like it. I like it. I mean, the Lord is worthy of blessing and praise and boasting and magnification and exaltation at all times because he is who he is and he never changes. Not just because of what he does, but because of who he is. And that's what David is doing. And people, the honest the truth about it, look, if the Lord was ever worthy of blessing and praise and boasting and magnification and exaltation, he is now worthy of it, and he always will be worthy of it as well, because he is who he is, and he never changes. The truth of the matter is, if you're honest, if I'm honest, we spend more time and we spend more thought talking about what God has done for us rather than who God is to us. He's a great God. Like David said, at all times, be they good or bad, be they hard or easy or hard, be they clear or confusing, be they bold times or fearful times, peaceful or anxious, it does not matter. God is the same, and that alone is worthy of our blessing and our praise and our boasting and our magnifying and our exalting him. He is who he is. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We rejoice that we have been given eternal life. We rejoice that our sins have been forgiven. We have been given a Bible. We've been given the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We have the church. We have marriage. We have family. We have health. We have fellowship. We have freedom. We have possessions. And on and on and on I could go. And it's certainly good and right to rejoice in those things that God does for us. But David is rejoicing that in good days and bad days, easy times, hard times, through clarity of thought or through confusion of thought, in boldness or fear, in peace or anxiety, God never changes. Now we change. We're up and down with the times. We're up and down with in peace and anxiety, and we change. But God is this, and I will say this. That includes times when our humanity is in full bloom. You know what I mean by that? When we're at our most human. When we're at our most human, his love never wanes. His mercy endures forever. His grace is sufficient. His holiness never fluctuates. His patience remains steady. His strength is available. And his help is near. Because he's God. And he doesn't change like we do. You remember the story where God came to Jeremiah in chapter 18 and he sent him down to the potter's house? Remember that story? Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. And there he saw the potter and the clay. And the clay was in the potter's hand. Do you remember what it says about the clay in the potter's hand? The clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Marred, flawed, marred, messed up, marred. Oh my. I don't think that's what happened. The clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It was flawed. It was messed up. But praise God, when we get in a mess, when the clay gets in a mess, when the clay gets marred, when the clay gets flawed, God doesn't toss it over his shoulder and grab a new lump. He keeps us marred and flawed and messed up in his hand. David's rejoicing in that. He's on the backside of the mess. And he's just rejoicing that God never changes. God doesn't change when we're doing well, and he doesn't change when we're doing in a mess, when we're messed up, making mistakes. This is not a sermon excusing sin. I'm talking about messes. You ever get in a mess? You ever get in a mess of your own doing? That's what David had done. And I'll tell you what, the Lord was the same when David got in the mess as he was when David killed Goliath. When David killed Goliath, it didn't change God one bit. And when David got in this mess, it didn't change God one bit. I'm thankful that my behavior, my actions, even when I make mistakes that I don't even tend to make, I'm glad that it doesn't affect the God of heaven. He stays the same. I am thankful that God's nature and character is never affected by our mistakes. So, church, we need to bless him and praise him and boast about him and magnify him and exalt him, because at all times he is God. Not because of what he does, but because of who he is. Aren't you glad you know that God tonight? You know that God tonight. So David speaks about the present, and he's rejoicing in who God is. Then David spends a little time in verses 4 and 6 speaking of the past. He does remember the mess. He remembers the mess. Now, although David never mentions the mistake in this psalm, we know what he is talking about because we have his story in the Bible. What he's referring to here is the time when he went to the city of Gath and he tried to join the Philistine army. Now, you've got to let that sink in your mind for a little bit. Think about the full ramifications of that. That would be like Oliver North going to fight for the communists. All right? Be like Jim Vineyard joining the Vietnamese, the Viet Cong. All right? That's what David did. Gath was one of the major cities of the Philistines. You can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Gath was the home of their champion, Goliath. Now, Saul had been chasing David, trying to kill David for no good reason. Saul was going in and coming out of bouts of insanity. And by the way, do you know what fueled Saul's insanity? Jealousy. Jealousy. It wasn't adultery. It wasn't drunkenness. It wasn't smoking dope. What fueled Saul's insanity was a sin of the spirit. Jealousy. David had not wronged Saul. Saul wronged himself. And I'm not preaching about this tonight on this subject, but I think we need to understand that these inner sins of the spirit can wreck us. I mentioned this morning the consequences of sin like alcohol, sin like tobacco, sin like infidelity and immorality. Yeah, they can bring a lot of tragedy into our lives. But I want to tell you something, folks. The sins of the spirit can absolutely wreck your life. I'm talking about bitterness. Bitterness. And people can deny that they're bitter, but I'm going to tell you what gives it away. The countenance. The countenance. Bitterness, jealousy, envy, hate can drive people to bouts of insanity. You know what those sins of the spirit do? They make us do things and say things and feel things that are totally insane. And we're not mentally insane, but we act like it, talk like it, feel like it because of the unconfessed sins of the spirit. It's interesting to me, and I think I pointed this out in a message earlier this year before Brother Ross came, before we had the revival, that in Psalm 51, when David's prayer of confession about his adultery and murder with Bathsheba and Uriah, he not only asked God for cleansing and washing and purging and clean me up and purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean and Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, all those good things, he also asked God in verse number 10 to renew a right spirit within him. He was compromised physically in adultery and murder because his spirit was compromised. It starts in here before it ever goes out there. And I just want to come, this is not my message tonight, but I just want to step aside for a minute by sidebar and say Saul was wrecked because of jealousy. Jealousy. Come on now, you've read the story? Threw javelins at his own son? Would you call that an act of insanity? Yeah. But he's not mentally insane because he has mental problems. He's insane because he has spirit problems. The sins of the spirit. David had reason to be confused. He had reason to be uncertain. He had reason to be tired. He's running like a dog. And in a moment of panic, he went to the enemy for shelter. He had been anointed to be the next king of Israel, and here he was trying to shelter with the Philistines, with the enemy. Now, you know, we've had politicians here in America in years gone by who have used their connections and people in important places to avoid being called up and sent to fight in a war. And we think poorly of them. David went beyond that. He went beyond being a draft dodger. He tried to join the enemy army. He tried to join the army. David made a huge mistake. And when he went to Achish there, the king of Gath, to try to join the army, Achish's servants called him aside and said, hey, you know who this guy is? This is the guy who's anointed the king of the land. This is the guy that they sang and danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. Hey, king, this is the young man who took a rock and killed our champion, chopped his head off, and paraded it back to Israel. And you're going to put him on our team? Achish was as insane as Saul was. You're going to put him on our team? And you know, no, that's not good. What you think. And David overheard their comments. This is all in 1 Samuel 21. And you know, at that moment, when David heard all of that, you know what he realized? I have messed up. I'm in a bad spot. I'm in a real bad spot. So what did David say he did at that moment in time? Look at verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Look at verse number 6. I love this statement. This poor man cried. I think that's what he did. I sought the Lord, this poor man. What a good thing to do when we have made a mistake, not on purpose, but in a moment of confusion and doubt and maybe just panic. You make a mistake, you get yourself in a mess. What a good thing to do when we have been unwise about something. Lord, this poor man is crying. I'm seeking you. You know, Samson is blind and he's being mocked by the enemy because of his mistakes and his sin. And what did he do? The Bible says, and Samson called unto the Lord. And Jonah is in the belly of the whale because of his mistakes and his sin. And what did he do? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Now, folks, again, this is not, it's okay if you sin, folks. God will be there for you. That's not what I preached this morning. This is not about making it easier for us to purposely go out and disobey God and encourage us that we can do anything we want and God will just turn a blind eye and forgive us. That's not true. This is when we, like David, get ourselves in a mess through human mistakes, lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of obedience. What can we do? We all can seek the Lord as poor people. We can cry out to God, poor in the sense of being a human, poor in the sense of lacking wisdom when we could have had it, poor in the sense of lacking faith when we could have believed God. When we get ourselves in a mess, we can seek God and cry out to Him just like David did. I sought the Lord. This poor man cried. And you know what the result of David's seeking was? God heard him. And you know what the result of David's crying was? God heard him. And what did God do when he heard David seeking and crying? The Lord delivered him and saved him out of his mess. And we know how that happened. David, he overhears Achish's servants talking to each other and talking to the king, and they're talking about him. And maybe he sees Achish's whole countenance change. And he cries out to God in his heart. And all of a sudden the thought comes to him, act like a crazy man. Now where did that thought come from, folks? You know where I think that thought came from? I think that thought came from God. I think that was God's way of answering that poor man. Amen. You're in a mess. You got yourself in a mess. So just act like a crazy man. And that's what he did. The Bible says he went over and scrabbled on the door. I mean, what if one of us on the platform just went over and started scrabbling on the door? And he drooled all over himself, foamed at the mouth. I mean, where's all that coming from? I don't think David had acted like that previously. I think that's what God would say. Why in the world would God give him something so humiliating to do? Maybe because that's what it takes for God to lift us out of a mess we've gotten ourselves in. It just takes a little bit of humility. And so he began to claw on the doors and drool all over himself. And I like to try to, you ever try to like to, you like to put yourself, I think I can see Achish going. And he says, what have you done? You brought a madman into my presence. Look, this guy's nuts. And that's what he said. He said, this man is mad. Do I have need of a madman? Get this man out of my presence. And so they showed David out the door, and after going a distance, probably still acting, you know, like a madman, David probably thought to himself, thank you, Lord, that worked. I appreciate it. That got me out of a mess. And here's the thing, folks. The Lord is able to deliver us out of our mistakes, but we must be willing to obey Him and tell Him what and do what He tells us to do when we cry out to Him. And it often requires us to be willing to humble ourselves in order to get the mess cleaned up. Think how humiliating it was for David to have acted like a crazy man. But humbling himself is what God could use to lift him out of his trouble. Humbling ourselves to obey God is what allows God to lift us out of our trouble. Do you need to say, I'm sorry? Do you need to say, I was wrong? Act like an insane person and apologize? Forgive me? I made a mistake. You know, folks, this is not so we can look sin in the eye and go right on, you know, thinking, it's okay, God will get me out of this mess. No, God may put us in a bigger mess if he has to in order to get our attention when it's our sin. But praise his name, when we get ourselves in a mess because we are human and we're really unwise about something, if we will cry out to God, as this poor man cried, Lord, I'm in a mess, he will deliver us. If we'll seek him, call out to him, and obey, humble ourselves, and do what he tells us to do. And that's what David's talking about. He's speaking about the presence. The present, he's just rejoicing in who God is at all times. Lord, when I killed Goliath, you were this. And when I got myself in a mess, you were this. I'm glad my victories or my defeats never change you. You're God. And then he's talking about the past and just thinking, Lord, I'm so thankful. What I did when I got myself in a mess was I just cried out to God, cried out to God. I was talking with a person in the church this week, and they actually texted me and said, hey, pray for me. The day's not going so good today. You know what? You know what that is, folks? That's honesty. And he wasn't talking about losing money. He wasn't talking about getting sick. He was talking about being a human. It's not going so good today. So I asked him later, and I did. I texted him, said, I will, and I did. Asked God to strengthen him, give him grace, help him. And I asked him later about how it went. He said, you know, Pastor, I sat in the car for 30 minutes and just prayed and cried out to God. He went and did a couple things for people to help them. I said, you know what? Everything got fixed. Yeah. I've said this over and over again, folks. There's nobody in this room that's a spiritual robot. Nobody in this room is a mechanical Baptist. We get ourselves in a mess sometimes because of our humanity. A big mess. Get things all messed up. We didn't intend to. Wasn't done on purpose. We panicked. Made a choice, a decision in the heat of the moment, in a time of confusion, a time of doubt, when we shouldn't be making decisions, maybe in the middle of the night. One of the worst times to ever make a decision that's of any kind of magnitude is when you're fighting about it in your bed at nighttime. That's the wrong time. We make decisions. We get ourselves in a mess. Because of our humanity. But I'm going to tell you something. God is the same God on the days when our humanity is in full bloom as he is on our best day spiritually. He's the same God. He doesn't change. And he will hear if we call. So David speaks about the past, the present. He speaks about the past. And then David speaks about the future, maybe how you and I can avoid the mess of a mistake. Look at verses 8 and 9. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. He's looking back on a time when he was confused, desperate, fearful, unwise, and he encourages others. Look, just trust God. Fear God. You know what David is saying? Don't do what I did. Don't let confusion, don't let desperation, don't let anxiety, don't let panic cause you to look to yourself for the answers, to look within for help. Look up and trust God and fear God. And then he makes a wonderful statement in verse number 10, using something from the animal kingdom. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. The young lions are the strong ones, those that are able to provide for themselves, to go out, to kill. And yet they'd never have enough. The young lions go out and kill, and then the old guys come in and push them out of the way and take the meat. The young lions go out and kill, and then the pack of hyenas comes. And you ever seen video clips of hyenas driving away lions? They're vicious animals. And the young lions kill, and they kill, and they kill, and yet they never have enough. They are continually on the prowl, never able to satisfy their need. And David is saying, look, don't be like them. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't try to will yourself to some kind of degree of level. Don't be like them. Seek God and cry out to God and trust in God, and you will find He has everything you need. You're in a mess, don't look within. When you're in a mess, and to keep yourself out of a mess, look up. I picture David sitting somewhere. I don't know how old he is. I can't determine that by the book. I can't, maybe you could, but I couldn't get it. But I picture him sitting somewhere by himself, just like you do, just like I do. Maybe we're driving down the road, maybe sitting in the house sometime, just musing, thinking. And the Spirit of God brings some words to his heart about the time that he got himself in this huge mess. And he stops and he just says, you know what? I'm glad that I serve a God that's the same at all times, never changes. Never changes. And I'm glad that when I got myself in a mess, I could cry out to God and he heard me. And hey, by the way, you that I'm writing to, trust him. Don't look within. Look up. Look up. When your time of panic, when your time of confusion, when your time of desperation comes in life, don't look within for the answer, folks. Look up. You look within, and you're going to get yourself in a mess, like David did. May have to act like a crazy person to get yourself out. So just look up. Trust him. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take the message tonight. Simple. I hope it struck a chord with somebody's heart tonight. Lord, we are very frail people. And we get ourselves in situations sometimes that we look around and say, how in the world? And what a mess we've made. And Lord, the devil comes and jumps on our shoulder and tries to tell us that you don't care and you don't love us. But Lord, I'm glad that the clay being marred was still in the hand of the potter. And you don't change based on our degree or lack of spirituality. You're the same. And I'm glad that when we get ourselves in a mess, we can cry out to you with a humble heart and that you'll hear us and deliver us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to learn from that teaching point and never get back in that situation again, to constantly trust in you, not doubt, not look within, but to look up. Father, thank you for putting up with our humanity. Thank you for putting up with our being marred. Thank you for putting up with our being flawed. Thank you that you keep us in your hand. Now, God, help us to take something home from this tonight that we won't forget for the future. Maybe even need it right now. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder who would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight on this matter of being in a mess, David thinking about his mess, the Spirit of God kind of touched my heart. I'm not in a mess right now, but I want to learn from it. But maybe I am in a mess. And God spoke to my heart about it tonight. Can I see your hand wherever you sit across the auditorium? God bless you. Don't look within. Don't look within. Look up. Look up. I prepare a message like this, and I wonder, Lord, what's this for? And then I see the number of hands that went up right now, and I think, okay, just use it in our lives. We're human. We're marred. We're flawed. But thank God, you're in his hand. Cry out. Obey. And trust him. If you're not saved tonight, great night to get saved. Put the sinful life behind you. Become a born-again child of God. Get baptized, whatever you need to do. But respond as God has spoken to you. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the piano begins a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. Thank you. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. Well, that's a great verse. Times when you're in a mess is not the time to call off all the accomplishments and the attempts at serving God that we try to do. That's not the time for that. When we're in a mess, we need to do what David did. This poor man cried, I'm in pitiful shape, Lord. I'm pitiful. I sure do need some help. Whatever I need to do is what I'll do.